Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter. And we are entering the banter segment. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for listening. Good to hear from you.
Hey.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to light everything technological on fire with the power of my brain.
I really don't recommend
that. I can
do that,
too. Why not? It's fun.
No, not yet.
I'll burn that bridge when I get there, right?
I mean, that's a down the road sort of thing.
Bridge is technically technological, so.
Yeah.
So it's feeling wintry, guys. It's feeling
really?
Wintry.
I wore shorts today.
Bite me, fanboy. It was in the 20s when I woke up.
It was 65 today.
Well, for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if over here it's hit 20s yet.
Nah, I woke up this morning and it's like, oh gosh, it's 20 degrees out. And then I'm like, Alexa, what's the temperature? And it's like, it's 29 degrees. And it got up like to 50 and then it's going back down to like 32 tonight.
Yeah, it's supposed to cool off a little in the evening for us, but it's going to be right back up to almost 60 again tomorrow. So.
We're already in the cold bits. It's great for certain things, but I hate it so much. It's cold. It does horrible things to a freak like me.
I prefer the cold. It makes me feel so much better.
I'm with Zen on this. Sorry.
Yeah, I've had the 100 days.
90% humidity, and I'm happy. You've seen
it. I know.
And you guys, it was funny. You were looking at me like, oh my God, she's weird.
Yeah.
And Zippy's just sweating. This is like an origin. Zippy's like sweating. He's just like, don't cuddle her. You'll melt.
Yeah.
Hey, normally people like Zen and I are in the minority and we're the weirdos and we're the ones that everyone else looks at funny. So when we can outnumber you and look at you like you're funny, we're going to.
Yeah.
It also means we're all going to hell. So but that's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh my gosh.
So. What have you guys been up to this week?
Planning Christmas lists. Planning Christmas lists.
Seriously?
Yes. Dude.
I'm still focused on Thanksgiving.
Well, no, let's just put it this way. You know, my I got a big honking Italian family and garde manger, you know how that can be. But no, it's like for one of my cousins, I'm going to be getting him a gift cert to the climbing gym I'm at. His two kids really love anime, so I'm putting that together. I'm making a list of stuff that I'm going to be looking for okay. as presents for my family. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Oh my gosh, it's great. And also, my cousin is also really, really, really into Star Wars. You know, he loves it. And for his birthday, we got him like Star Wars jammy pants, you know, like relaxy pants, but they're not the thick, heavy kind. And a subtle Star Wars jacket, you know, stuff like that. So I was thinking, you know, getting him it because I can't wrap presents worth anything. I always have Zippy do that because it's ridiculous. But I'm thinking I might want to get him a Yoda stocking and put like his present in there. And for the two kids who are big in. And the thing is, like, they all like the Miyazaki films, so I'm thinking if I can get, like, a Totoro stocking for each of them and putting in, like, a little present in there. And for my niece and my nephew, one of them is into Star Wars, so I'm thinking, you know, mom is saying, you know, gotta get the nice and kind of, like, respectful toys and fun games and stuff. I'm like, I still ain't wrapping presents, so I'm going to get him the Yoda backpack and I'm going to put the present in there.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the no, this is like Christmas list because it's always fun just thinking what I can get my family for. And well, Zippy's always a nightmare to shop for, so I have to start thinking about that now. Now, yeah. Here's the thing, what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the Paranoia starter set for him. What do you think?
Yes.
Gardemajer, yeah. What do you think?
Friend computer has no opposition to this course of action. It shows your loyalty, good citizen.
And you always must trust friend computer because anyone that doesn't is a commie or a mutant.
And commie mutant traitors are the end of friend computer, which means I must kill them for commie mutant traitors when they are friend computer's enemy.
Perfect. Now, I wanted to get him that, but I was just like, I don't know. But
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. How about, sorry about that. I went off on a geeky tangent there for family presents. But the other one,
that's half the reason
what was the other game that we played at the, there was Paranoia and then there was, I can't remember.
Dread?
No, Dread, you can get the book online. But what was the other one? It was this other one where depending on a role, things went good or things went bad. I'm trying to remember what it was.
That sounds like every game.
I played with Oz. It was during the Shadowcasters live stream. I remember waking up at 7 in the morning to play this thing. Thank you.
Fiasco.
Ah.
I was thinking I want to get that one too. You know, maybe ask for that for Christmas for me because I really liked it, but I couldn't remember the name.
Yeah.
I think Paranoia would work. And then I'm thinking after the holidays, after every, you know, and we all and having all of our buddies over that, you know, all went away for the holidays and we play Paranoia and get ourselves a rip roaring lit.
Oh, yeah. That is like a great game for that.
And by the way, you must pick this up for your holiday viewing, listening of awesomeness. It's the a very scary solstice and an even scarier solstice. It's Cthulhu Christmas Carols. I'm telling you this now so you can get it in time for the holidays, but that's what we're probably going to be listening to afterwards when we get back because that's what friend computer wants you to listen to.
Oh my God, no. My friend computer wants me to get Yogi's First Christmas.
No. That's the microcomputer.
That my wife, who is my friend computer.
Gotcha.
She has said, I want this movie. I remember it from being a kid and I want it.
Wait,
and
I'm is this the one where what? Wait, that's the one where the Judy Jones, who's like the daughter of a millionaire, that one?
I think so. There's a little girl on the cover.
Little freckles, red hair.
Yeah.
I already have a lot of Christmas.
I can get it. I have to get that one. It's one of the, yes, but do you have Santa Conquers the Martians?
Yes.
That is so
classic.
I also have the Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. I have a Disney Christmas Carol, Muppet Christmas Carol, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare Before Christmas is a Thanksgiving movie.
No, Nightmare Before Christmas is our anniversary movie, so bite me.
It is a Thanksgiving movie. It's between Halloween and Christmas.
Actually,
therefore it is Thanksgiving.
For Zippy and I, that's one of the first things we watched cuddled up together after we got married. We got married on the 16th of December. So okay. It's an anniversary movie.
That works because it's not at Christmas yet.
No.
So I'll give you that.
But it's great. But sorry. Getting closer as the holidays come in and the thing, like, yes, I'm being bombarded with Christmas, everything. But for me, this is also one of the coolest things for my family, at least my cousins and my cousin's kids who are in the tweens and teens. And well, you know, if you want to, they're interested in kind of like in storytelling a little bit and stuff like that. I'm like, here's some games, you know, but if you go like rip-roaring silly, because Paranoia kind of reminds you a little bit of like Fooly Cooly or, some of the other really wacky ones, you know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful little gateway. And also having Zippy run something like that. Come yeah. on, imagine him as Frank Computer.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun.
We're all going to die.
Probably. That's why you have many clothes.
Yes. Sorry, I am really on a tangent tonight, so sorry about that. What are you guys planning? You guys also planning for fun stuffs?
Well, I mean, planning for fun stuffs and what's coming up is a perfect segue into our main topic tonight.
I tried to set it up and then brain farted halfway through. Sorry. Setup fail. You still spike it, though. And point to you, Gutter Manger.
What we're talking about tonight is kind of sight unseen, putting your money where your mouth is, which has two really big components. And how do you jump into a setting you've never used before? How do you jump into a product you've never used before? And kind of what we can tell you about how we determine if it's worth our time, worth our money, sight unseen.
Well, this means absolutely no research, or how do we research it?
Both.
Because if it comes to research, especially. If it comes to research, this is the wonderful thing of Twitch streams and Let's Plays. And there used to be SourceFed Nerd, and they would actually try differently. Will Wheaton's Tabletop. You know, you can just put it up on YouTube, see what comes up. You know?
Yeah.
Because I have gotten so many. I actually got into Dread that way because Will Wheaton ran a Dread game. I'm like, that is the coolest thing ever. And then I bought the game. You know?
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, there's several ways that you can actually do this. And that YouTube and the internet have made it so much easier than it used to be to go out. Because before, you actually just had to, with literally no idea what it was going to be like, drop money on something that you may hate.
And that's, sadly, I think that's one of the reasons that certain RPGs just kind of died on the vine, is not because they weren't good. Those were what kind of indie games are now. You know, way back in the day before, you know, in the days of big publishers, indie games, you know, we would never have games like Shovel Knight or something like that because it's a little obscure. But the thing is now, you know, people can actually create their own RPG and put it out there. And with Twitch streams, I can't remember the name of the show, but there's a show where they will do a random, you know, grab bag and they'll pick a game and then they'll try it out and see if they like it. And it's, like, ooh, kind of cool. You know, also, podcasts. There are so many out there of, you know, trying new games or, you know, it.
Yeah. Those are all really good ways. But before you even really start messing around with any of that, you need to kind of do some. It's almost like soul searching.
So yeah, how do you know faster whether to spend the time? And that soul searching is, you know, what's the setting and theme you like? What are you feeling like playing? If you're in a high fantasy mood, you know, something that's throwing a picture of a cyborg at you probably isn't going to be your best option. I mean, trust the marketing materials to tell you what it is they want you to take away.
Well, for the most part, you know, cover art's usually a good idea, you know, but the thing is completely sight unseen. If you're looking at if they've got a whole bunch of stuff on a shelf, like at your local game store, by the way, support your local game stores and comic shops, side note. But, one of our local comic shops is after 10 years of shutdown. I am sad. Rest in peace, Little Fish Comics. But the thing is, what you can also do is, you know, if you're at your local game shop and, you know, you're looking around and you've got guys and it looks like they haven't really started their game yet, or, you know, or they've hit a good intermission and you don't know what they're playing, but you're not really sure what it is. And sometimes the marketing material doesn't really give you good, ask them. And it's also a good way to make some contacts because they might, you know, certain people see riffs as crazy, super weirdo adventure. I see it as a horror game.
Well, and riffs, ask 20 people what riffs is about. You'll get 30 different answers because it rolled so many things together and gives you so many ways to do it. But another shorthand you can take just when scanning through options, look for a licensed property you love. If you already love part of the setting, it's a lot easier to get into a game. If you are a fiend for superheroes and a game comes out in your favorite universe, odds are you're going to pick it up. If you are a fan of a particular TV show and it gets a role-playing game based on it.
Which there are several of those.
There are several of those. Odds are you're more likely than not going to like the game. That's just another way to kind of narrow that focus, that field, to something you can then figure out, hey, is this fun? Have you played it? I wonder if anybody's got an AP on this.
And
right. And some people do, a lot of people don't, but you know, you may find somebody that's done one. Even if it's just like a simple one shot, like maybe a 2 or 3 hour one shot that they've put up. I mean, that would give you some idea of how the game works and how they saw the game.
And here's also going along with that because, well, all right, this is how I converted somebody. The Shadowrun trilogy, which is Shadowrun Returns, Dragonfall, and Shadowrun Hong Kong, was on sale. I bought the bundle and gave it to a friend of mine who'd never played Shadowrun before. Didn't know it was a tabletop RPG. He thought it was really cool. I'm like, oh yeah, you know what's an RPG? Sometimes a IP, so, you know, that you really, really like it, could be also be a video game. You know, and then all of a sudden now it has a tabletop game. Yeah. So here's.
Yeah. Like. And I'm going to throw this one out there. Like they did Street Fighter.
I know there's a Street Fighter video game.
And a role-playing game. Yeah, White Wolf did it back in the day.
Yeah, the Street Fighter role playing game. I have all of it. It's awesome.
That would have been worse.
I think
this is the thing. Like this is one of those points where it's like you could have a Double Dragon game or, you know, anything else. If you had a universal system, you could build that.
And here's the thing though. System. Sometimes, and I will say this, the Firefly / Serenity RPG, and I love Firefly Serenity. It's awesome. The mechanics in the game are I don't like them. I'm not going to say it's bad, but it is really far from my cup of tea. However, here's the thing, though. They actually have some really, really good mechanics concepts in there. It's just I don't like how they're executed. I can port that to a different system and still keep the universe, you know?
Well, and these recommendations aren't foolproof. This doesn't guarantee you're going to get a good or fulfilling or wonderful game, but it's a way to focus your time and increase your odds of getting something you do like. And we've kind of touched around getting recommendations before from people at your gaming store to friends. If you've got friends you trust, ask for their recommendations. Ask your compatriots online. It's like in, say, the Seize the GM Facebook group you should be a member of, if they've heard of this game, this setting, and what they think of it.
Here's some of the nicest things.
Get some feedback.
If you've got buddies, I mean, you're kind of interested in it, but you don't know much about it, you know, ask to swap source books. You know, it's like, I'll borrow the Doctor. You can borrow my Doctor Who RPG if you let me look at the Demon City Shinjuku core book and swap. And get a read, because if he liked it enough to keep it, you know, not sell it back, sell it on eBay, stuff like that. If he liked it enough to keep it, you know, and he might be able to lend it to you. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually one of the things that if I ever, you know, get the chance to, like, there are some universal systems. And aside from just GURPS, there are more than that. But those, as a general rule, are a great way if you like something, but that doesn't exist as a game that you can go purchase, then you can take with something like GURPS, you can take the base GURPS rules and, like, technically you could build Shadowrun from GURPS using the magic rules and the cyberpunk rules. And you just kind of find the way to mix the two together and you could make it.
Yep.
Is it going to be exactly the same? No. But you get enough of the feel, because if you're like, look, I'm not going to go out and buy a whole nother game system when I already have GURPS and it works fine. And I know how it works. So I'll just take these two that I already have and I'll mash them together. Or the same thing with, like, you know, I want to run a spy game. So what do? I pick up, you know, Palladium's Spies
Ninjas
and Superheroes.
Ninjas and Super Spies.
Yeah. And just play that. But make it a James Bond movie. Because I love Bond. You know,
That's one of the strengths for, the Sight Unseen are things like GURPS, like the hero system, these universal systems that once you've got the underlying core book, it's easy to pick up a splat book to get you going. Which segues to another one of my suggestions, which is know your creators. Some companies, some specific game designers may write games, either fluff or crunch, that you particularly enjoy. If you begin to recognize that, you've got another leg up on figuring out, hey, is this something I want? Oh, hey, yeah, it's got that guy.
Yeah.
Or that girl who made that system.
Yeah. You think Monty Cook. Thank you. Monty Cook is notorious for that. Yeah. It's like, I like Monty Cook's stuff. And then if you're like, well, he did that. Ooh, I like his. Ooh. And, you know, he might have done something that's completely in a different genre, different universe, different whatever. But you liked what he did in D&D. Check it out. Sorry. That's actually how I found some of the other Monty Cook stuff. Is because I liked Tallis.
You sure? Yeah. And there are lots of those sorts of things where, you know, if you start paying attention to the writers, you will find that, I'm going to use Pathfinder because there are certain writers in Pathfinder. Like, if you want, like, creepy content, there were like two or three guys. They were the ones. If they wrote something, you bought it because they wrote creepy and they wrote it at the next level. And they're known for it. Like, that is their signature thing is, I do creepy. I do creepy well. And I write it in this game world. And that works. And you can mine those four things. Like, I want to run so say I'm running, like, I always run Pathfinder because that's what I do around here, but I really want to do something horror and I want to do something very, like,
okay,
Jason, you know, Friday the 13th. I find a way to use the system that I have to make it work. Because, like, you're not going to go out and buy a Friday the 13th role-playing game. It just doesn't exist.
And that's the biggest thing at the end of the day is, if nothing strikes your fancy, if nothing grabs your attention while we're trying to help, take what you have and figure out how to adapt it, which is something we're going to come back to in future episodes on how to adapt a game for something it may not have been designed for. We kind of touched on it on the horror episodes previously. But know your creators, know your tone, ask people for recommendations, trust your licensed properties, and know what it is you're looking for.
Yeah, that's the big things. Like, as long as you know what you like and what you want to do, and the group is on up for it. That's the other thing. Your group has to be up for whatever you want to try. And if they're a flexible group, they'll be like, hey, that sounds awesome. Let's try it. Great. And if it doesn't work, ask for that feedback from the beginning. Say, hey, I know we're trying this. We're going to do something that's a little different than what would do. I need to know what you guys think right after the first session. Be honest. Tell me, what is it that you liked? What is it you didn't like? Because I need both bits of information. Because if I have both of those, then I can try to fix both of them and make it all work. And that's what you have to have. And if you don't have that, then you're going to either keep making bad things, or your good things are just going to become escalated and they're going to feel weird compared to what you're doing that's wrong. And you're trying to bring that all into balance.
And you've heard us say this all over the place in any other episode we have done here. Communication. Talk to your players. Players talk to your game master. That's the thing, is communication. Like, talk to people at your game store. But the thing is, you need that feedback. If you grab a book and you're flipping through it at the game store, and one of your buddies in the group, what do you think? And be honest with each other. You don't have to be a dick, but just be honest. It will help.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if I were to find somebody that was like, I want to run this really obscure thing that nobody's ever heard of before, I'm more than likely, if they're really into it, be like, let's try it. Even if I've never played the system before.
Enthusiasm will make up for a lot. And if that's why I said the licensed property, if you already care about the setting, you're probably going to make a better game out of it just by the fact that you come in with a head start.
Yeah. Yep. And that's exactly the point, is if you can come in with that, I love this setting. This is an amazing setting. You just don't understand how amazing this setting is. And there is a game that I have that the setting is amazing. The rules are a little wonky, but it's unlike any other game that I've ever seen before. And I can't ever get people to really get the concept of it. And that is that damn Immortal, the Invisible War. The setting is it's Earth, but you are immortals and you have existed since the millions and
you're
millions
Vandal
of
Savage,
years old.
Right?
Huh?
You're freaking Vandal Savage.
Older. This is like before human anything's existed. Like, you can play, because you're a shapeshifter, you can literally be shadow and light, and I could be this rock. I can be a rock. I could be an animal. But there's so many other things that you can do. And it's an amazing system. At some point, I want to run this for all of us and just dive. I mean, because it's so rich, like each kind of like group within the overarching society is a culture unto itself. So it's really rich. It's really deep. And I can almost never get anybody to understand it. And it's a sad day. Now, as soon as I can find a group that will play that game, we will never play anything else. I'm just saying.
But there you go also with the passion of really wanting to try something.
Yeah.
So if you're a GM, and like I said, for everyone else, Dolish Donuts, especially with that game, would be sight unseen.
Yeah.
But listen, if you listen to Zen and how much he wants to run this, you'd be willing to give it a shot now, wouldn't you?
I mean, it's a phenomenal game. I mean, the history of it. I mean, you can actually interact with what were gods. Like, Zeus exists. He's just a specific type of immortal. And, like, the Egyptian gods, like, all of those old gods were nothing more than immortals. Not all of them were gods, but some of them were. I mean, that's how crazy this is. It's so cool. So, yeah, it's really neat. So, but, you know, this is one of those topics where, yeah, there's still more, obviously, to talk about, because
we are still scratching the surface, as we keep saying, because, well, also we're still kind of doing our stuff on the first. So,
yeah. And, so and that's okay. And this is one of those where, like, soon we're going to probably have to do a show on, like, how do you take this idea that you have and work it into another system that it may not have been originally envisioned in. So.
Very carefully.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's something that we need to discuss.
But that's a future topic for a future time. Yeah. And we'll come back to it. And if anyone actually has stories of how they've ported something, say, into its own rule system. I'm not saying like a completely homebrew, but like, say, like if you're taking, like you're taking like us, say you're doing like Area 51, you know, Warehouse, what was it? Warehouse 13 and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. But there's no real, you know, RPG for it, but you turn that in. What system did you use? Why did you pick it? Was it because, well, this is what I had and this is what I know, or because the nature of this required blah, blah, blah. So figure it, you know,
yeah.
Tell us your stories, go on the Facebook group and chat with other people, because I, like I said, communication, this is how we get awesome stuff. You know, Code Monkey Save World would never have happened if someone didn't mention, if, you know, no one mentioned to Jonathan Colton is like, dude, you can do a comic book out of all of the characters in your songs. Never would have happened. So talk. Who knows, might come up.
Yep. Yeah. So, well, I guess we're going to go ahead and close down this segment and tumble our way into the next thing. And now we enter Stat Blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight.
All right, before anyone yells at me, I'm meh.
No one's yelling at you. I'm going to go
no,
first.
No, I just... I'm,
you are?
Yeah, I didn't do... I
yeah,
didn't,
okay. Yes, you have, and that's okay.
Tonight, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a plain-worn Warhammer. Sometimes you don't know what you're getting into, but other times it's plain as day. This Warhammer has no other uses but as a weapon. Its balance and heft are most certainly intended to be deployed on the field of battle. What may be striking, though, is that the hammer is plain and unadorned. No extra designs worked into the head. No fancy carving on the haft. No intricate leatherwork on the straps worked around its handholds. The only hint of its history comes weeks later. A small band of raiders, or so you thought, besets you and becomes clear they're after the hammer. A simple hammer has their attention. They share a tattoo or a brand that you don't recognize, one with a hammer motif worked into it. This isn't the last time someone comes after you for the hammer, nor the last time a merchant offers a truly impressive price for such a basic tool. maybe your mind begins to think there is something more to this hammer. How do you find out if this is anything more than mere coincidence? How can you put at rest the slowly growing doubts in the back of your mind? Where do you even start?
Nice. I like it.
Stop with the creepy, you creepy of awesome creepy things. Mm-hmm. Dude, I got a shiver up my spine, man.
I like it.
That was so cool.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and give you mine here. The Wanderer. He's simply known as the Wanderer. You'd miss him as he passes near you. Who is he? Oh, he's that homeless man you just passed on the street. He didn't ask for anything, unlike all the rest of the homeless in the area. His clothes are worn and patched, but clean. His backpack, as worn and more patched than his clothes. It's kind of hard to pinpoint his age, though. And as he turns away from you, stalking like a cat, you thought you caught a glimpse of a knife strapped to his lower back. This man was just a normal kid that wanted to be a teacher after he finished college. He had a turn that put him out on the street for a few days. During that time, he was just outside of the area that a killer was running amok. He dodged the killer, but he spent the last 2 decades hunting killers down. Maybe they're normal people, or maybe they're the things that go bump in the night. The Wanderer, he bumps back.
Well done, sir. Well done.
And you said I was.
I actually have to give this one credit. Like, the idea for a homeless, like, hunter guy was from a podcast that I listened to called
if you say hobo, it's like hobo with a shotgun kind of thing, right?
No. The idea of this kid, this college student who actually gets, he gets put out, but he finds a regular guy who's been committing these murders, and he is homeless during the time that it's happening, but he's never around the areas when it actually happens. And then he finds out who it is and he turns the guy into the police. And then it just kind of ends there. I wanted to take it, what would happen to this kid if he was actually, he stayed in that vein for the rest of his existence.
Well, you know, they actually have those kind of characters in Little Fears. They're members of the Order of St. Nicholas. Yeah.
Cool.
These are adults who, well, don't remember the monsters. They instinctively help and protect the kids. You know?
Oh, nice.
Some of them are, you know, friendly and kind and nurturing. And some are the protectors, and you don't want to see them work.
Yeah,
that's what I get. That's kind of the feel that I got when you were doing it. It was so well done, sir. Well done. And I'm glad I actually wasn't able to do one this week. I couldn't. No way. I'm gonna have one though next week. Trust me. I've got an idea. It's just blame tech for this one.
Yeah, I understand the feeling. So,
fine.
Well, let's go ahead and flip into the next thing. Yeah.
Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
Okay. Now, this is an easy one. It is.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Yeah.
You think I'm joking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready for this? Zealot.
You must construct initial pylons.
A member of the Wildcats.
Additional pylons.
Oh, that was good.
Sorry, dude. I had to.
There's actually two. There's two definitions of this word.
I'm going to guess from our previous experiences, usage and historical.
Yes. The first one is a zealous person, specifically a fanatical partisan, like a religious zealot.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a capitalized zealot. And this is a member of a fanatical sect arising in Judea during the first century AD and militantly opposing the Roman dominion of Palestine.
Ooh, I actually just got around that. I'm listening to History of Rome podcast, and we just finished that one.
Cool. So, its origin and etymology is it comes from late Latin, from Greek, from the word zelos, and then the Greek was zelotus, and then late Latin is zealotus, it looks like, and then zealot. First known use is 1537, and its popularity is actually in the top 10% of words.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, as opposed to the bottom 50s, this one is actually one of the top 10% of words we use. Now, there's a thing here, this little did you know thing. So in the first century AD, a fanatical sect arose in Judea to oppose the Roman dominion of Palestine, known as the Zealots. They fought their most famous battle at the great fortress of Massada, where 1,000 defenders took their own lives just as the Romans mm-hmm. were about to storm the fort. Over the years, zealot came to mean anyone who is passionately devoted to a cause. The adjective zealous may describe someone who's merely dedicated and energetic. And zealotry, but zealot and zealotry are usually disapprovingly, even while Jews themselves everywhere still honor the memory of those who died at Masada. Or Masada. So yeah, weird little bits.
It's listen to the History of Rome podcast. It actually is a really interesting story.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, we are going to wrap this bad boy up after we give our closing remarks. So.
I went first, so I go last.
Jules.
You guys are absolute monsters. Excuse me. I apologize. Uh-huh. Coughing my brains out. Okay. Today I'm going to be recommending an artist. He's holy moly. I met this guy when I was at Gen Con this year. And we all sat down and we were playing Shadowrun card game. And holy cow, he was handing out these little cards and it's art based on circuit boards, what circuit boards look like. And I look at a circuit board and I look at I think technology and what it does and transition and stuff. He looks at it and sees art and patterns. So, I'd like to give a mad shout out to Thomas Alexander Vincent. I will link his awesome art in down in the doobly-doo because holy moly, it's this style is probably the most coolest. I love circuit-based art. It's my thing. But what he's done, and you look at it, and it's, you can tell it feels kind of electric circuit-based, but there's something, you know, it's like, this is the kind of stuff you could see like doodled in an electrical engineer's book, or carved on the side of an Aztec temple. They would both fit. And I've never seen art like that before. I have cool. a picture of his stuff. I'll put it down in the doodly doo, but holy moly. And he sent me about the size of business cards, different bits of his art as a present, and it's like I have not felt so much awe and wonder just looking through each of these, and I'm like, you can't. There's no other way to feel than just inspired. So
that's cool. Yeah, that is really cool.
Much love to you, dude. Thank you.
Well, that is cool. So I am going to have a shout out in the vein of what we've been talking about. And that is, if you are a comic book fan and remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there was a RPG called TMNT, Another Strangeness, that you could get from Palladium. And we've bantied about a couple of times, but it is a fun, fun game that is very much in keeping with the original comic series that was done. And I believe they did all the art. The two guys that were involved that wrote the original TMNT, like, they did most of the artwork that shows up in the game.
Like the original?
So it all has their feel. Yeah, the original, like what Eastman and stuff. Those guys were the ones involved with it. They were also involved with how the game was designed, I believe. Yeah, like they were really into whatever was being done with the turtles, because that was their baby. So they were actually used as consultants and everything else during the development of the game. So it is very much in that, their vision of the TMNT universe. And it is fun. It is so much fun to play. I could not find a copy anywhere except for on Amazon used. I can't find PDFs of the game anywhere. I found a copy of it at my local used bookstore. And I got it for $5. On Amazon, I think it was like $13 or $14. So it's really worth it. And if you really like, you know, turtles and that sort of thing, it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, that's my shout out.
It's the original TMNT, though, like where they all look the same. They didn't have the color coding thing, you know.
It's black and white artwork.
It's from the original comic book, and with that, it is very much
where it's where there's a lot of there's a bit of tongue in cheek, but it gets dark. Sweet, I gotta find it. Right around Christmas, you tell me all these things I need to buy for myself. You monster!
No, you tell him what you would like, and then when he doesn't buy it for you, then you go buy it for yourself.
Like I'd actually trust him to really go shopping for me. At least not for the... For more obscure stuff? Mm-mm. For awesome, really cool stuff? Yes. But if I...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go get this, though. Heck, because I know Zippy liked the original TMNT. The original. He loved them. Maybe I'll get it for him. And he can run it for me.
Self-serving.
Ooh. Double win.
Of course.
I'm going to give the most open-ended recommendation. We are, at least in the U.S., moving into the big holiday months as we get between Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And that means it's the best chance for you to do something that maybe you don't do enough of in the rest of the year. Get out and enjoy some fine art. Live music, choral music, stage plays, opera, whatever it is. Take the chance. And during the holiday season, it's all over the place with holiday-themed choirs and events. You can get out and see it. Playing these games, telling these stories, remind yourself the other ways stories are told. Remind yourself the other way emotions are brought out in audiences. And take the chance to go see some fine art and see it live.
This is a great one.
Oh, and speaking of that, before I forget, we're coming up around the Christmas time. I want you guys to check out the charity called Child's Play. It is pure, unadulterated good, for the lack of a better term. It's geeks and gamers of all stripes, all colors. It's a charity to give kids in hospitals games. And pretty much it's a bunch of geeks and decided to do something good. And with the holidays coming up, kids stuck in the hospital for the holidays, they need any little bit of joy. So if you can think about it, check out the Child's Play charity. You know, because sometimes a smile is what will get you through the holidays.
Yeah, we will definitely put that one in the...
Yeah, and during the holidays, here's some of the cool things. There are some really hilarious, really funny fundraising events. So if you catch one of those and want to donate for them, go for it. Desert Bus for Hope donated a couple $100,000 last year. They played this terrible video game for 5 days straight, maybe longer. But check it out. You know, it's a good cause. It helps kids in hospitals, and it gets games into, you know, video games into kids' hands, which is telling stories. What more could you want?
Definitely.
Sorry, didn't mean to hijack.
No, that's a good one.
Didn't mean to hijack that.
Nope.
So.
That's a great way to go ahead and end up, about to say, to go ahead and end the show. And we'll see you on the Facebook group or Twitter or right here next week on Seize the GM.
Have a good one, everybody.
Have a good holiday, folks.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are... at Zendead,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at SeizeTheGM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at Zendead@SeizeTheGM.com.
Me at Jules@SeizeTheGM.com.
And me at nulloperations@seizethegm.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by The Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.